the opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I really feel like this team is, not just after they won the World Series, but really it started in 2015, really when Jeff Luneau came to town. I think this team is built to contend for a while to come.
When people are like, oh, we can't trade Tucker, whoever it is. It's what the Yankees did all through the 90s and 2000s. They built their core. Every other prospect that they got, once they were good, they would hype him up and then they would trade him for veteran guys who could help them win now. God, A&M, they've got so much talent. They've got to be better than what they've been. I thought they could challenge for the SEC this year. And they
started off looking like they were going to be really, really, really good.
Their first game of the year, they played West Virginia. If you remember at the beginning of the year, all these NBA guys that A&M has, they were all suspended. Shorthanded A&M. And A&M beat the hell out of those guys. And then as soon as SEC play started, they were like, nah, we're going to be mediocre.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and Jermaine Every on the Blitz today. Day three of a Fowler-less Blitz. John, are the shows okay?
Shows are good.
Shows are good. Are you just saying that to be nice because I'm here? Or
like, no. Shows are good.
Are you going to tell Fred the shows have been horrible?
No.
Are you sure?
You're positive.
Beth is in there. She's going to join us on the program in the next segment.
Yeah, so she's going to bring some kind of stuff. No. She's going to bring the fire.
Oh. We may have to break out that story anyway.
What story?
The story that you sent me this morning.
Yeah.
That's a story we might have to talk to about Beth or with Beth.
It's kind of weird.
It's up her alley, though.
Sex alley?
Oh.
It's up the sex alley.
Here we go.
It's up the alley or the canal. I don't know. I don't know how you would put that, but it's up there.
Yes. So she'd be in there in about 10 minutes.
Okay. She'll be ready.
All right. Where was the bad pun thing? Because I felt like that it was going down that.
You thought we were going to do a bunch of sex stuff?
I was like.
I didn't know if you would play along with that.
I was waiting for it. I was like, okay. I was trying to think of one, and y'all kept hitting all the points that I was going to hit, and it just didn't. I couldn't find my interjection point. I didn't mean to say that. It came out like that.
It's okay. I get where you're going. All right, let's talk to Chris. I haven't taken any calls today. I apologize.
See, y'all, I'm softening him up.
I saw a bunch on the board, and I was like, I'll get to them in the next segment, and then they would never hang on through a break. And like, I'm bad about that. So I'll try to bang through a couple here. Chris, what's going on, man?
All right, so y'all were talking about going out to eat. And I am the oldest of six boys.
Okay.
All of us are over 6 foot tall. We're all big kids. And we were almost a high school basketball team by ourselves. If we weren't going to a buffet, it was seriously a special occasion. Because we would hit a buffet probably about 6:30, and we would decimate that thing. Ryan's, there wasn't a Golden Corral where we were from. Ryan's Chinese buffets, we would go nuts on that thing. We'd be in there for an hour and a half and just tear everything up.
See, you got to go economical when you got six huge boys like that. There's no way you're going to like a Perry's or a Churrasco's or, you know, a Cheesecake Factory. You're not going to some decent restaurant. You're not going to like a highfalutin restaurant. When you got that many kids, you need to feed. So you just got to get it where you can get in where you fit in, you know? Most of the time, that's cooking at home stuff.
Yeah.
Y'all probably eating like ramen noodles and stuff like that. That's too many damn kids.
Yeah, that's a lot of kids.
I can't do that. No. We stopped after two, and I'm just like, I'm done. Tapping out. I quit.
Yeah.
I quit. Speaking of, I need to go to one of those. What is that? Man Centers or whatever?
Yeah.
They have the scalpel-less vasectomy?
Yeah.
I think that's a great investment. I think I'm going to ask for that for Father's Day.
you would ask for a vasectomy for Father's Day?
Yeah. It's kind of ironic, huh?
Yeah, I feel like that should be like a Mother's Day gift.
Mother's Day, Father's Day, however you want to put it.
I can't believe you haven't had one yet.
No, not yet.
Your wife stays on birth control all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are you what? You're playing with fire?
Hey, man.
What are you, like a pullout guy? At 37 years old? You got to be kidding me.
Hey, I'm going to get a vasectomy one day.
God, it's the best. It is the best.
I just haven't, like, at first there was a lot of trepidation about it, and then, like, life just got busy and got involved in all kinds of other stuff that took up time and thought, and I just have to just take the time out to just go do. Because what I didn't know, like when I had to go to the dermatologist and I got to go back, I got this thing, this growth on the back of my neck I need to get lanced and removed or whatever. But I didn't know you had to go to your physician and get a recommendation before you could go to see like a dermatologist for a special procedure or get a vasectomy. I'm like, why can't I just go to the dermatologist and be like, hey, I got this thing. I need you to cut it off. Or go to the vasectomy doctor or whatever he is and be like, hey, clip him. I don't want no more kids. Like, I didn't know you had to do all of that. Like, the medical profession and all of that medicine, I think it's a racket.
I mean, in a way, but it's a racket, but it's a needed racket. It's a necessary racket.
Can't the vasectomy doctor just tell me, okay, cool, here, I'll clip you, you're done.
Well, you can do that at Man Centers. You don't need a
That's where I'm going.
There you go.
Boom.
You ought to do it on, I was telling this, saying this yesterday, you ought to do it the day before the tournament starts so you can sit down on Thursday and Friday and watch college football all day.
I thought about that. Yeah. I actually read an article maybe about a year or so ago that is actually the highest time for vasectomies is tournament time because guys do exactly that.
Let me tell you what getting a vasectomy is really like. I don't know. Do you like you shoot guns?
Yeah, I've shot before.
Okay. You ever go to a range and shoot?
Yeah.
It's a good time, right?
Yeah.
The downside is bullets are expensive.
Yeah.
Think of a vasectomy in the same way. Think of it like this. You've been shooting those shots, and every once in a while, one of them hits, and then it's expensive. Mm. Once you get the vasectomy, it's like going to the shooting range with unlimited free ammo. Unlimited. You can shoot all you want to your heart's desire. It's not going to cost you a thing.
Yeah, it's definitely an investment we want to make because by the time the youngest one goes to college, we'll be like mid early 40s. So we're like, I think our saying actually is 43 and it's all about me. And that's what we want to stay on target for that. Got about 6 more years.
Okay.
We're going to get this done. I think we should make a whole thing of it. I think I should go to Man Centers and like post a video of, well, I don't know if I post a video of the consultation and everything, but I think we should make a thing of it.
You do it.
Who's the doctor over there?
Dr. Dick Chop. I'm just kidding. His name's Dr. Russell Williams.
I thought it was something.
There was legit a urologist in Austin
named
Dr. Know
his
Dick
name,
Chop.
So
that's
when
true.
You said that, I was like, oh, that's an interesting name.
His name's Dr. Russell Williams.
Okay. I think, Dr. Williams, we need to talk. Call in and get my info from John.
He's not listening. He's busy, you know, fixing people's balls.
It's 6:11. He's not seeing
he's
balls
a doctor.
Right now. Dude, they shut down at like 4 o'clock, 5
he's
o'clock
at the
latest.
He's busy to listen to this show. He's got research to do.
Somebody's
stuff.
Listening. If you're listening for Man Centers, let's get this done. I need to come in for a consultation.
Is that on line 3?
OU Mike.
Oh, Lord. Oh, you, Mike, you've caught me in a good mood. What do you want?
Well, I've analyzed the show today, and I believe black people and white people are going to be okay. I believe we're going to make it. Well, actually, it came from checking out Tina Turner videos when I was young, but still, I believe we'll be okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mike. That's what we're set out here to do. Just a black guy, white guy, and an Asian guy sitting here helping out race relations on 97.5. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing. Just proving we can all get along. So, that was an awkward transition. Let's just go to break.
Let's go to break. We can do that.
Yeah, let's just go to break.
We'll have Beth from Darling Way.
Another awkward transition.
In here next. She's got some questions for you as a black man.
Oh, boy.
She wants to know about your lovemaking.
I'll be getting another text from my wife soon.
Oh, yes. All her church friends are listening.
So am I.
And they're all about to know about
your... The funny thing about it is my church friends are like, hey, dude, that's funny, that's cool, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what...
Yeah, but you haven't started talking about your crank yet.
Oh, jeez.
Now's the time.
Oh, boy.
We'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Darling Way presents Here's Your Masters of Love, Fred the Falcon and AJ with Beth Liebling.
Jermaine's waving at me like I've never done this before.
Amateur.
I was going to take over for you, but...
You could have.
Yeah, I know.
You host a radio show. You know what to do.
I know.
Well, you know what to do.
I know. Okay, so that's a great introduction. By the way, folks, hi, I'm Beth from Darling Way. I'm so glad to be here. But I think that's the perfect lead-in. So you know who the guest was on last week's Love and Laughter with Beth?
Ron Jeremy.
No. He's ex-communicated and stuff.
I interviewed him.
Yeah, no. He's not cool. That whole Me Too thing took him down. Oh, yeah, he wasn't... He was uninvited, I think, from ABN and stuff. He wasn't there.
Oh, it's a damn shame.
Wow. Yeah. No, it was better than Ron Jeremy.
What?
Yeah.
Lexington Steel.
Oh. Well, this guy, I don't know, Silver Steel? Mr. David Gao.
Oh.
Your boss.
My
boss.
The boss man.
Yes.
The boss man. What did he talk about?
Well.
Did he talk about Harvard?
No. In fact, I'm so bummed. I totally forgot to ask him about the Harvard Club because we could have gone on for hours, I have to say. But the part that you'll really like, and the reason that I think I could have just started this segment, is because he bragged about you and Fred, how you are the number one show in Houston.
That is true.
Which, right? That's amazing and awesome and fantastic. I'm so proud of y'all. And then, you know what he said the little local scuttlebutt was? He said, there are a lot of people in this building that think I had something to do with that.
Really?
That, I think I'm just going to clip that, and I'm just going to play it every day when I come in here for you, just to remind you and Fred.
So the middle-aged Jewish lady is partially responsible for the number one radio show in Houston.
Uh-huh.
And now we have a black guy filling in for Fred. We have an Asian producer in AJ.
I know.
We are helping with ethnic diversity.
Yes.
Right. I think Bob McNair should hire us as his PR firm right now, just the four of us. But AJ, you need to have a lesser role because of white privilege and all.
I mean, that doesn't seem right, but okay. Whatever you guys think.
So many other advances. I said, I want to be on uniform inspection. You know, I want to make sure everything's fitted just exactly right.
You can have it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Oh, I like that idea. Can I go into the locker rooms and stuff too then?
Yeah, you can. There's always chicks in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they.
Cool.
I think it's weird because, like, you know me, I'm not gay, but like there's some guys who when they're naked, you can't help but notice.
Of course.
And
it's always that awkward thing where guys are just like there's cameras and microphones and everything everywhere. And then guys are just walking around free spirited. That was always like the weirdest part about even when I played sports, that was still like kind of weird to me or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I always kind of wonder. And then I think I actually, the only flack I've ever gotten from a listener or something was one time when I talked a little about the way that men on athletes can kind of smack each other's butts and they hug each other and things like that. And that guy, I think somebody thought it was a little inappropriate, but it is kind of interesting the amount of physical intimacy that some athletes are allowed at different times and stuff, right?
Yeah. It's like when you're on the same team, like, there's like a brotherhood thing.
Right.
Like, you know, I can put my arm around my brother and in public and not think twice about it. But like most other grown men, I'm not going to
do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
I think the most like awkward physical contact guys may have on a regular basis is a bro hug. That's about it.
You mean off the field?
Yeah.
On the field, yeah. Their most common one is to pat each other's butts.
Right? Yeah.
That is happens.
Well, like in a moment of jubilation, you may hug each other or something like that, but that's about as far as it goes.
I like it. I like to see signs of camaraderie and stuff. And I think that sexualizing every kind of touch is absolutely crazy. And it actually impedes thorough, happy, emotionally satisfying relationships.
But you're not a white man in 2018.
Nope, I'm a Jewish middle-aged woman.
Let me tell you, white men now, like I used to, our sales ladies, I used to greet them with a hug. Now it's a pat on the shoulder.
Yeah.
If that.
Right.
Or if not a handshake.
Right.
And it's awkward shaking women's hands. It really is.
Yeah.
Because when you shake a man's hand, you give the firm shake.
Right, right.
When you shake a woman's hand, you don't want to like make it like a weird feminine.
You got to
like,
do, right. I've had to learn this over the years at my real job. I see a lot of ladies when I go and meet them at the house, and I do the manly feminine handshake where I take my thumb and kind of put it, you know, like there, and I do one of those things.
I don't like that.
Now, if
I don't like a hand to be, I don't like it to be on top or bottom like that.
I go side to side. Now, I did have a client the other day where she gave me like the firm,
like a man shake.
Yeah, and I went back firm with her because I let the lady dictate the handshake.
Yeah, because when you do that little wussy kind of thing, mm-hmm. I feel like you're making...
We're demeaning you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I feel that way too.
Exactly. So I want just...
But I also
I don't
can't
want it to
shake your
squeezed.
Hand like I would shake his hand.
No,
right.
Well, not as hard. But you definitely... That can be firm,
okay.
Right? So AJ just shook my hand. And it was
that
a
was
respectful
a respectable,
firmness.
Exactly. Okay.
Not just, let me crush your knuckles, but here, let me just make it so that I'm...
Most like reasonable men don't try to crush knuckles. But you also want to you want to feel
it's a strength, thing.
Right?
You want to you want to, it's like a
it's an alpha dog.
Listen,
thing.
We're like gorillas.
Yeah.
Okay. Like when we shake hands, you need to see like let that guy know, hey, I'm a gorilla. Are you a gorilla too?
Right.
And sometimes you'll find out, oh, that guy's not a gorilla. He's a sheep.
Yeah.
And but you want to present yourself as gorilla just in case later on that guy that you're shaking his hand thinks that you're some kind of punk and he can punk you out.
Right. Well, so I think you should do that the same as a woman, but just understand you're meeting perhaps a slightly smaller gorilla, but do it still with a level of firmness, and then you can
step up. A gentle gorilla.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But really, the French have it. This is one way. The French do what I call French kisses. They kiss cheeks, you know, both sides.
Oh, I don't like that.
It's so easy, though, because men do it, women do it. You just know.
I really wish.
That way, there's no discussion about whether you hug or you shake hands.
Like, it's flu season. I wish everyone would go to the fist bump.
Oh.
It's the best way.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no satisfaction. Think, if you fist bump me now, there is no connection between us.
No.
And
you know what connection causes? Germs.
But connection.
No germs cause?
But there's a
sickness.
Reward for it.
That's right.
Right. But a connection. I still walk in here. I give you and Fred a hug and a kiss or something when I come in. I shook Jermaine's hand because we haven't met.
Yeah.
How was his handshake?
But I probably hug him when I leave.
How was his handshake?
I didn't. Well. Oh, at the beginning?
Firm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. He didn't do the woman.
He did it
because
the right way.
I let Beth dictate the handshake. When I saw her hand open up and she grabbed mine, then I grabbed hers and I knew how to shake her hand. That's how I shake a lady's hand.
That's good. Actually, so the same thing could be said about kissing and stuff, too,
right? Nope, nope.
What? No.
Nope, not doing it. If I don't know you like that, then I'm not hugging and kissing.
No, I'm saying if you're dating somebody, for example,
Yeah.
Waiting and understanding what your partner is expecting for a kiss, exactly what you said, that's the way to do it, right? Instead of just opening your mouth hugely wide or something something.
Like family members, like where I'm from, you hug and kiss like the female family members. Or like when my wife first met my family, we weren't married or anything, but like my cousin stuff, they gave her a hug and a kiss.
Yeah.
It's just the way you greet a lady in our family.
Yeah.
Now, when I came here and I was meeting some of her family, I accidentally hugged one of her aunts and squeezed her butt by accident. Oops, my bad.
You accidentally squeezed.
Look, this is her
butt.
Aunt
She's
always tells this
short.
Story and she thought it was hilarious.
That's
because
cute.
Sometimes when I get in trouble for that with my wife. And so I just grabbed. It wasn't nothing that I was trying to do. I accidentally did. I was like, oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and
but you owned
just
it.
She just thought
it's
that
like,
was hilarious.
Yeah, you have to be able to laugh about it. That's,
yeah,
that's exactly
it's a joke now. I was really embarrassed at first, but now her aunt jokes about it all the time. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, stop it.
All right, well, so, Jermaine, though, we got to talk, dude. The pullout, the pullout method?
It's so antiquated.
Yeah. Do you know what the failure rate is? And by failure rate, I mean the pregnancy rate.
So far, so good.
So far, so good until.
Okay. Well, I don't know how long. Right. Average, 22 times out of 100, somebody's getting pregnant.
See, that's why I need Dr. Wilson at Mass Centers. We
Dr.
need to
Williams.
Meet.
Okay,
Williams.
So yeah, I think you and I should go. I think we should do a segment on Love and Laughter with Beth and talk about vasectomies. I would so love to do that because I think vasectomies are really a good thing for a lot of people. Mm. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. This is what I'll do, Beth. This
you
is
were
what
inviting
I'll do.
AJ. I'm
to
like
make sure I don't get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
After I get it done, I'll call in. And I'll talk to everybody about the joys of getting a vasectomy. Was there any pain involved? The whole nine yards. How the whole experience went.
Oh, I don't know. I think you should talk to your wife. I think we should kind of go. I think it'd be fun. It'd be so interesting.
Of
I can tell you about
you
getting my
fun.
Tubes tied. I watched while they tied my tubes. And what? That's really, yeah, that's worse.
You're, so you were awake
you
when they did
when
it?
That happened.
No, I was awake because I'd had an epidural. It was right after I have five kids. So this was after my fifth baby.
Yeah,
and
she knows about how easy it is to get pregnant.
My doctor said normally I'd tell people they need to wait after they've given birth. She said, I'm not giving you a chance to reconsider. We're just doing this.
Yeah.
And so they whisked me in. I had the epidural. And they put a drape up. And I was like, no, I want to watch. And by the end of it, she realized I wasn't going to pass out or anything. And the drape was down. And I looked, and my doctor had her hand in my insides, and it was so cool. And then she pulled, it was awesome. I watched the whole thing. I wish I could have videotaped it.
Yeah, and I thought I was crazy because I had to get this thing on the back of my neck removed, and I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, and he's like, there's this cookie cutter thing, and he's taking these chunks of this crap out of my neck, and like I'm hearing it ping inside the bowl. And I was like, can I watch? And I'm like, no. The doctor was like, he's like, do you need me to stop? Are you okay? And my wife's like, he laughs when he's in pain. He's fine.
I do the same thing. I didn't know we had that in common. Yeah, that's funny. But okay, I really think you should think about that vasectomy thing, and I think we should go. And by the way, part of the reason that the pullout method isn't very effective is also because apparently there's a myth that pre-orgasm ejaculate doesn't have sperm in it. But public service, folks, public service, it does. It does. So that's why you can't just think that you're doing it and you're going to pull out before an orgasm because there is leakage. There is spooge before that. So so public service announcement, folks, if you don't want to have a 1 in a, 22 out of 100 chance of getting pregnant, that is not a good method for you. So just saying. Yeah. Three kids is good, though.
No, I only have two.
I know. That's
the
why
third
I'm saying
one was
three is
like
okay.
No.
If you're going to keep using this method, then three has
no,
to be okay.
Sure. Beth, our saying is 43 and it's all about me.
Well, then you need to go like soon. That's my suggestion.
You guys have thoroughly convinced me I need to go tomorrow.
And it's no big deal. No big deal from what I've heard.
Yeah, they do it scalpelless now.
Yeah. But anyway. Okay, so this week I'm talking about another great topic on the show. And you're going to want to be part of this one, too. This one on Love and Laughter with Beth, it's porn. Porn, porn, porn. And I've got a guy coming in.
What's your favorite kind, Jermaine? What do you type in to YouPorn or Pornhub?
I don't watch porn.
Hold on. So I'm going to have a guy on who wrote a book. And I know we're going back to that, but just give me a second.
No,
I'll talk to your wife.
I'm dead serious. I don't watch it.
This guy that's coming on is an author, and he's written a book that I thought our listeners would love, that you would love, because the name of the book is Ethical Porn for Richards. Right? He thinks that it's okay for guys to watch porn, and that's what we're going to talk about on the show. So, Jermaine, you really don't watch porn? Did you before you were married?
You can look at my browser history. I don't watch it.
Did you watch
it? You watch it on the
before?
Private browser, obviously.
I don't watch it on the private. I don't watch it.
Of course you do.
Did you watch it before you were married? Like, I believe you. No, you didn't. You're just not that into it.
I have before, but it doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. I don't watch it. I don't need to watch it.
See, I'm not that into visual porn. Do you like erotica? Do you like to read?
Nah.
Okay, because I love written porn. That's what turns me on. No,
I'm not
that's
on
not
all
it
that.
Either.
Nah.
Okay. Does your wife like porn? Have you ever asked her?
Heck no.
Why do you say that?
Oh, we don't need that.
No, I'm not saying you need it. That's, nobody needs ice cream or cookies either, but gosh, they add a lot to life.
It's not a thing for us. That's not something we into.
Have you asked your wife?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know why?
Well, I'm not sure. Some people just assume, right?
No, I mean, it's more of a faith thing. Like, that's just not what we do. And we don't need it. Thank God that we have a great life together. Like, we don't really need it. It's not something that we're into.
Okay. So and that's fine. I don't, if people aren't into it, that's totally okay. If people have whatever objections, I'm totally fine. But I hate for people to think that you need something. Because truly, I think of it like dessert. We don't need dessert, but it does add a lot to life. Now, if we overindulge, and it's not just porn, it's all sorts of different sexy fun, right? Whether it's a vibrator, or it's porn, or it's a costume, or whatever, lingerie. So, I just would caution and say, I don't want you to wait until you need something to fix. I want people to have sexy fun and keep it positive.
Right,
so just keep changing it up. Because if you don't, you know, if it's always the same two bodies doing the same three moves, that can just be not so exciting.
Yeah,
so
it can be, but
I want to add different sexy moves to it.
We don't need that. We got it together.
He thinks they do.
Yeah, we got it together. We're good.
How long have you been together?
We've been together since 2001.
Oh.
Been married for, it would be 15 years in September.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's very exciting. And knock wood, I want it to continue.
Oh, it's going to continue. We ain't got no choice. We don't give each other an out. Like, we have little things where we do to fix our issues, or we have an argument or something like that, or she gets mad at me, I get mad at her. Like, we got a great life.
That's
like
a good thing. Yeah.
It's a storybook, pretty much.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And you're a religious guy?
Not a religious, faith.
But faith. Okay, yeah. So spiritual and stuff. So.
Yeah, I don't... Because you follow a religion, it means you follow...
A dogma.
Exactly.
I gotcha. I like that. Well, so my theory, because I tend to be more spiritual and not very dogmatic, I think of like our bodies as really the greatest gift that we get from God or the universe or whatever you think. And to me, I say that to not enjoy all the different parts of our bodies in a meaningful and respectful way is like having God cook you a dinner and saying, I don't even want to try that, right? And so before, like I mentioned the prostate massager, and I saw,
Jesus.
You just giggled like heck. But I know, but talk about African-Americans, you know, African-American men have a higher instance of prostate problems. And a prostate massager actually helps keep it healthier. It minimizes the problem.
I'll just let my doctor tell me what needs to be done, and we'll take care of it that way.
You actually have to go to the doctor.
I'm going to go.
Well,
and
the doctor may send you. I had a guy come in a couple of weeks ago whose doctor told him, you've got a month. Use the Anaris prostate massager. And in a month, if it's not better, then I'm putting you on medicine. And
I'm
if you're not willing to try
if
it,
if my
you're
doctor
be
tells
medicine.
Me, I'm going to get a second opinion.
Well, yeah, go. But that's why. That's what the company started from, with all the doctors referring. Oh, it could be fun, Jermaine. But seriously, if God cooked you dinner, would you say, no, I don't want to try that dish?
If it involves a prostate massager, yes, I don't want it.
Why? If God made it, God created your body.
He created your butt for things to go out, not in.
You know how many nerve endings you have there?
I don't care.
Do you know, AJ, have I taught you this?
No.
4,000.
Oof.
You know how many you have in a penis? About 4,000.
That's awesome.
Right? But I'm telling you, this is... God's telling you. And God put the prostate there, and this is something that helps it and recirculates it and keeps it healthy. It's by design. I just am telling you. Jermaine, do you want to come back on another Wednesday so we can continue this conversation?
Nope.
It really is kind of cool and stuff. But really, it is healthy and stuff. But it is sad that we don't talk about this stuff more.
I mean, honestly, if it came down to like health purposes and like my doctor and another doctor said I needed to do it, I'd have to probably do it. I wouldn't want to do it. It's just like when your doctor tells you, like I've had people say in the past, like, oh, my doctor says I have to stop smoking, I have to stop drinking or whatever. It's not something you want to do, but if you want to keep living and have a good quality of life, you go ahead and you do it.
But the difference is that this is actually something, as opposed to medicine, where it's just trying to fix something, but it also is creating other issues. The fact is, the prostate massager, the only benefit that it can add besides health is it can give you pleasure, but otherwise there's no side effects. But, sorry. But it's important. And here's the thing. So my dad had prostate cancer, and they think that the prostate massagers help with it. And so you know what happened from prostate cancer? He had his prostate removed. Do you know all the issues that come with that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you can have erectile issues. You can have urinary issues. You can have all these really bad things. And it's so silly. So I'm upset. Part of the reason I sort of champion for this stuff is because I'm mad that we didn't know about these prostate massagers before my dad had his prostate out. That's a waste.
Man.
It's just a waste.
That's... So,
right? We need to take care of ourselves, and we need to just be open. Even though it's weird and it's hard, and
now,
I appreciate you letting me talk.
Now, I'm having to go to Man Centers to check out a vasectomy. I'm going to have to go to my doctor to get my prostate checked after this place.
I did mine.
Yeah.
I'm not even 40, and I did it.
Right.
Oh,
Yeah, it's important because if you have you seen men who like wake up all the time to go to the bathroom?
I don't see those guys.
Okay, well, you know them. No, you know older people in your family and stuff. Yeah. They constantly, they'll be up three mm-hmm. or four times at a meal and stuff. A lot of that times it's because the prostate has gotten enlarged. It enlarges naturally over 40, but then it gets inflamed. Mm-hmm. And the prostate massager
causes all those issues.
And then they think that prostate cancer is because more malignant cells just accumulate there. Mm-hmm. Because when you use a massager, you actually empty it more fully. So it recycles and keeps it healthier. And that's why so men, right? Three orgasms a week is healthiest for men.
Damn right it is.
Right. So there is good.
Three is healthier than four?
Well, no, minimum of three for men is for good health. Okay. It can be more than that. But
agreed.
Yeah. Now, women, we only need one. But yeah. But so that's good. So you can go home and tell your wife, I need three a week to keep me healthy.
Minimum.
Minimum.
Always don't forget that.
Minimum. Three a week minimum. Yeah.
And because you don't watch porn, you know where they have to come from.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to meet your wife.
Even during that 1 week out of the month, just going to have to find a way.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. How many minutes do we have left in this segment, John?
Segment is actually over.
I was going to say, I have menstrual cups.
We can
talk about those sometime, too.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
It can make things neater and easier.
Oh, boy.
All right, folks. Hey, thanks for letting me be here.
Oh,
hey,
boy.
Folks, please listen to Love and Laughter with Beth. If you miss it on Saturday night at 10 p.m., please tune into iTunes or ESPN Houston's podcast arena and catch up and hear the station mm-hmm. owner. It was fun.
You guys aren't going to ask her the story or something that you guys had?
We're going to have to hear about it. We're going to have to hear about it on the show. We don't want to give away all the stories.
No, it's called Radio Tease, John.
Told me.
Story that I told you.
You said there was some article or something that one of y'all messaged before.
Oh, we didn't have time. I forgot about it. It was about a guy who used a mortar as a dildo on his girlfriend and he blew her up.
Oh, no. That's awful.
Yeah. That's why you should only use
things from Darling Way. Exactly.
From Darling Way.
I'm telling you, there's
unexploded ordnance to please your woman.
Right. Oh. This is why we really do. We really need to be talking more because people don't understand and they don't know the risks. And this is why people put stuff
That's
up
right.
their butt all the time. Anyway, yes, we should have a public health announcement of all sorts of avoid
That's it.
Sex
don't
trips
do
to
that.
The ER. Yeah, we'll do that.
Oh, boy.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Man Centers, where Dr. Russell Williams is the man. And there's a misconception that if you are having fertility issues, that you should just go to any old urology practice. That's not the case. Man Centers is a premier medical practice. They focus on reproductive urology and male fertility. The doctors and staff at Man Centers are the experts in reproductive urology and the no scalpel vasectomy. So if you want to be fertile, you want to stop being fertile, they've got you covered. They got three locations: Houston at Katy Freeway and Campbell in the Memorial area, off 288 in Pearland, off 249 in Tomball, and there's no excuses anymore. You can get a free general male wellness checkup there now. That's $150 in value. Schedule your free general male wellness checkup today. Give them a call at 832-358-8600 or go to mancenters.com to book your appointment online. They're doing Saturday appointments now, so if that's if the day of the week is an issue, they could get you on Saturday. They fill up fast, though, so check them out at mancenters.com. And I'm telling you guys, it's a great idea. You want to miss work for 2 days, Thursday and Friday, opening day of the tournament? Schedule that vasectomy for Wednesday. Then you'll be like, oh, sorry, boss. I'd love to come into work, but I had a vasectomy. I need 2 days off. Boom. You're watching hoops all day. All day. And the only place to get it done is, of course, Man Centers. Mancenters.com to book your appointment today or 832-358-8600.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, no Fred Fowler. Wrapping it up on The Blitz today. What we haven't done, a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day. This directly correlates to what's going on here because Fred's in Canada and Fred is basically a Canadian. This story's out of Canada, Hamilton.
That's in Ontario, right?
Yep. Francis and Derek Bars, who describe themselves as a Christian couple with strong religious faith, took the Children's Aid Society of Hamilton to court about a year after the girls in their care, aged 3 and 5, were taken away and their foster home was closed. You want to know why the foster home was closed?
Why? I'm not sure that I want to know, but I know you're going to tell me anyway.
The problem was the Bars refused to tell the girls, aged 3 and 5, that the Easter Bunny was real.
Wait, what?
They decided, because they just, you know, this, I guess they were the kind of Christian family that wants to, like, let kids know, even at an early age, what Easter's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let's face it, the Easter Bunny is a way happier thing than talking about Jesus being murdered. Yeah. So, you know, it's easier to tell kids that.
Yeah.
Well, there's ample evidence to support the fact that the children were removed because the Bars refused to either tell or imply that the Easter Bunny was delivering chocolate to their home. I'm more than satisfied the society actions interfered substantially with the Bars' religious beliefs. The girls looked well cared for in all respects. However, they said that it was part of their duty as foster parents to teach the girls about the Easter Bunny. The Bars told Lindsay they intended to hide chocolate eggs and have the girls find them on Easter and play other games, but didn't plan to speak to children about the Easter Bunny unless the girls specifically asked questions about the character. The CAS contended Lindsay never asked the Bars to lie or betray their faith. They just wanted them to tell the kids about the Easter Bunny. They want them to enjoy Easter and Christmas. And
So let me get this straight.
Yes.
Because they refused to tell their foster kids, about a fictional character, their foster kids got taken away?
Yes.
Welcome to 2018. That's all I got to say. Yep. That is the most 2018 thing I have heard of in my life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I mean, as a Christian man raising kids, like, we didn't tell our kids about the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus or anything, and they're two upstanding citizens. They're not like
they made it. They didn't
emotionally distressed.
They never believed in Santa Claus?
No, they believed in Santa Claus until they just figured it out. And then once they figured it out, we were like, okay,
you
yeah,
got me.
You got me. You know, but I mean, as they're growing up, yeah, we let them believe in whatever they wanted to believe in. And then they figured it all out. Easter Bunny was way easier to like get over. That was like a non-issue. It was Santa Claus. That was the only like last remaining fictional character hurdle. But I mean, that's just stupid. You know, let people be who they are. As long as they're not physically or emotionally, mentally harming the kids, there's nothing wrong with that. That's their privilege. That's their right. I mean, come on, man.
That's well, listen.
So you think the kids
day
are going to grow
in white Wakanda? You got to tell your kids. You got to tell your kids that there's a magical rabbit that brings them chocolate.
Oh, man. I had to dress up as the Easter Bunny once. My son's birthday was actually on Easter.
I did that once, too.
And my wife's uncle was supposed to do it, but he didn't show up or whatever. So my wife's like, well, you got to wear the suit. I was like, I can't fit the suit. We're like two different. So the Easter Bunny had like, he had hands and sleeves, but his wrists were black. It kind of didn't fit. There's a really funny picture of me like drinking a beer in the Easter Bunny costume because it was hot as bananas outside.
I got arrested in a Easter Bunny costume when I was in high school.
See, that's what happens in white Wakanda.
Yeah.
You get arrested in
Easter Bunny costumes. I got super stoned and broke into a theater with three of my friends. Not like a movie theater, like a play theater where they did plays.
Uh-huh.
And I put on a bunny costume. And we got arrested, and I was arrested in my bunny costume.
See, and that is the whitest thing super I've white. Ever heard of.
Yeah.
You get high and then break into a movie theater.
Yeah.
Dude, back then you could sneak into the, you didn't have to break
theater.
Into it.
It was like a theater, like where they did plays.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why there was costumes upstairs.
So evidently y'all wanted to break in and put on costumes.
Yeah.
That, oh my God, that is so white.
Yeah.
That is the whitest thing you could possibly do.
It was a snow day.
So you got high on a snow day and broke into a theater and put on costumes and got arrested.
Yeah. Three of my friends.
Good Lord, AJ.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you invited to the cookout, dude.
They put our names in the paper. We were all minors. They still put our names in the paper.
What?
Yeah. They didn't care back then. It was the Wild West.
And where'd you grow up at?
This was in New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
I lived in New Mexico for a couple years when I was in high school.
It's kind of lawless there, right?
It is. It's the Wild West.
Yeah, it's still the Wild West. Yeah. I can tell. Goodness gracious.
Yep. Hey, good job today, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing the black man's perspective to the show.
Anytime.
Even though I feel like I usually have it anyway.
Yeah,
I'm in touch with black culture.
You're ingrained into the community somewhat.
Yeah.
I'd say you're in touch with the community.
I'm whiter than Fred and Jong, technically.
Yeah.
But they're whiter than me. You know, whiter with quotations.
Air quotes.
Yeah. Jong, good job today. Jermaine, good job.
Thank you.
And Jong will be in your seat tomorrow. Oh, man. The big day tomorrow, Jong.
Dun, dun, dun.
Until then, guys, stay sportsy.